Hi Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Fine, Andrew. I'm admiring your picture of the Golden Gate Bridge. Very inspiring.
This is in honor of the very positive influence that people from Silicon Valley have been having in the Trump administration. So I'm being supportive.
I'll take it as a positive sign.
Yeah.
Things can only get better from here.
Exactly. I would say markets-wise, well, the intersection between politics and markets-wise, this has to be one of the more interesting weeks we've had in years. So let's kind of dive right in market reaction, any politics, Fed, price action. Yeah, what stood out this past week?
A lot of talk from the administration, which the market, broadly speaking, doesn't like because of the uncertainty, but has started to ignore. You know, there is this flip-flop on tariff policy. One day we jack up tariff by 25%, which would be very destabilizing. The next day it's reversed, but I don't think the net effect is neutral. I think overall it adds to uncertainty, and uncertainty is bad for markets. Recession fears coming back, and I think it's a bit overblown because for sure what we've seen is a loss of consumer confidence. The data is very clear. But at the same time, we get a sense that the underlying economic dynamism has not been broken by the administration policies yet. One example is this morning NFP, so a bit of the on the low side, negative surprise to both public and private. And by the way, public employment, excluding the postal service, is like down 10,000 workers. So we're not seeing the hundreds of thousands of workers claimed by DOGE. But if you look at the data, unemployment, you know, if you look at things like minority unemployment, involuntary part-time work, which is a form of mild unemployment, all this is still consistent with a fairly tight labor market.
Right.
So that tells me if the administration can become more disciplined, both in terms of messaging and underlying policies, the economy can continue to chug along. So let's see what happens, but that's a key message I take from the data this week.
And the miss was pretty small, right? And I saw you saying about miss, but it's pretty small, you know.
Definitely. I was concerned because I live in California, which has a lot of migrant workers in the agricultural sector. I was concerned that there could be a sort of a, I wouldn't call it a strike, but migrants staying home and a huge decline in NFPs, and not happening at all. Things are still chugging along quite nicely. And in terms of the Fed, Andrew, what is paradoxical is that so President Trump is not a fan of Fed independence. I mean, he has acknowledged it in an executive order where he asserted White House control of all independent agencies, by the way, including the CBO that is going to score the budget the Congress is working on.
Right.
But he made an explicit carve-out for Fed monetary policy. But the thing is, this very disorderly policy implementation, paradoxically, it makes the Fed stronger because the Fed becomes an anchor of stability by comparison with the administration. So we have Powell speaking in a few hours, where he is going to set the tone for the March meeting, since the pre-meeting blackout starts tomorrow. And I think he's just going to project that stability, stress that the fundamentals of the economy are still strong, and repeats that the Fed is taking a wait and see because they need to figure out what exactly the administration is up to. He's going to be very polite and diplomatic, of course. Not my strong suit. Yeah, so that's a paradox that the Fed is stronger by comparison with the administration.
So what's the risk to do you, so you don't see a lot of risk from his comments tonight, Powell's comments tonight, not saying, well, we are seeing some slowdown in
So he's probably going to acknowledge that there are a few pieces of data that are a little slower, and the Fed is, of course, watching very closely. But I think he's just going to repeat that his wait and see stance. And the administration is actually giving him a stronger reason for the wait and see. And anyway, March is not in play. I mean, we had Waller yesterday saying so. And a tidbit of interesting information in Waller's interview yesterday. Whenever he gives a speech, he shows a draft to Chair Powell because he doesn't want to surprise him, which kind of makes sense. Anyway. And he typically gets something back from Chair Powell. So we can, I mean, obviously, Powell is
can
not going
assume
to.
that's kind of like somewhere near Powell's baseline.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah. I mean, not exactly. And I don't think Powell wants his FOMC members to, he doesn't want to control their message, but this idea of not, coming from left field with a surprising message explains why there is never much of a disconnect between Waller and Powell.
One question on the jobs numbers. I saw somebody was commenting about the labor force participation rate, that it, man, is 0.2%, a decent move, and is that a little bit worrying or no?
So participation rates have been declining on average, so meaning for all age group. For the past 12 months or so, it's been a gentle decline. By comparison, prime age participation has remained roughly constant around 83.5%, which is very high. So it means the decline is basically older Americans. People are sicker and die in greater numbers since the pandemic. So this could be the impact of this worse morbidity.
And I was going to ask the, we went from a period where there was so much optimism around Trump, and in a month now there's so much pessimism. That we could feel that, and from within the company with talking to our clients, but like it does feel, take time to filter through and really impact decisions now. In the short term, maybe they have created more uncertainty, certainly around business investment, and especially if you're near probably the northern or southern border and you have some interaction with Canada and Mexico.
You are driving a truck.
But yes,
You're not happy. Actually, this was a key Trump constituency, truck drivers. Interesting. Yeah.
so do you think it's too early to see a real impact? I mean, I know some of the consumer numbers looked weaker, but then, like we've talked about, a year, two or 3 years ago, there's soft data and hard data, and sometimes the soft data untethers, and we assume that the hard data following didn't.
So that's a great question because, as you said, it's more soft than hard. But I mean, when does growth slow and when does do recessions happen? It's when you have negative feedback loop, right? Because income, employment, investment mean income household income, and household income means consumption, and consumption is what drives the US economy and therefore businesses, employment and investment decisions. And so when that, I mean, right now we have a positive feedback loop, and most times the normal state of the economy is a positive feedback loop. I mean, recession happen like 10% of the time or less than 10% of the time. It depends what period you use, but that's the normal state of affairs. So we are at the stage where it's only expectations and consumer confidence. So we had a jump in the savings rate that are impacted, but we don't really have the negative feedback loop. Yes, this NFP was a bit on the weaker side, but this could also be early beginning of year residual seasonality. So nothing has been irretrievably broken yet. And who knows, if the administration was a bit more disciplined, we could recover some of the optimism. Though I must say, this would be more optimism in terms of demand and growth than on fiscal consolidation. On fiscal consolidation, the news are a bit troubling. First, the administration wants to have a continuing resolution, so the extension of the current budget until the end of the year, fiscal year, which suggests they don't expect to resolve the budget issue anytime soon. And then we are hearing noises in Congress like they are going to base their assessment of the budget law on a current budget trend, rather than the CBO baseline. And the CBO baseline is based on the Trump tax cuts that assume that the tax cut expire at the end of the year. So if you use the current baseline, you don't have to fund the expiration of the tax cut, if that makes sense. So we are hearing
Oh,
a
so
lot.
you're worried that they won't be forced to cut spending or raise revenue some other way.
I'm worried that they will cut spending by less, much less than they will cut taxes. So, in fact, if you look at, I was just looking at the budget deficit, it's still, this morning, still trending down. And it's unclear whether the trend will reverse or even stabilize. So, but we won't know. These are such complicated issues. We won't know for quite a while. Meanwhile, if the administration gets its tariff policy under control, like if they do something like saying we will have a gradual, predictable tariff increase and stop making this 25% here, 25% there announcement, because 25% is going to put some businesses out of
Yeah, definitely.
we're going to have bankruptcies, then we could have and announce some deregulation, then we could have a recovery in enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, I think I asked before. So just high level, if defense is kind of 1%, the discretionary spending is say 1%, say is 1 trillion. Discretionary spending is 1 trillion. And then kind of Medicare, Medicaid is 3 trillion. Is that roughly right?
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. So why is the deficit so big if even if discretionary spending went up 10% a year for the last 5 years, the last 4 years, it still doesn't explain why the deficit is 6%. Is it because Medicare, Medicaid, a lot of that is indexed to inflation? And obviously you have interest rate payments, that's another part. It's another trillion, I think. But if you want to get it down to 3%, how do you get it down to 3%? Is it because there's only so much you can cut? And just to understand that. And is it because tax receipts have not been going up that much? But Medicare, Medicaid were indexed to inflation. And because you had these periods of inflation, they're just generally higher than they were before, but the receipts are not that much higher.
Well, I mean, I'll quote Secretary Bessent, we have a problem with spending, more of a problem with revenues. And in my view, there is a lot of merit in doing this sort of a root and branch review of government spending. It just needs to be done with a more transparent process. I was looking at employment numbers in the federal government, excluding the postal service, and they've increased since the pandemic, or since 2019, they've increased significantly more than private sector employment. Why is that? And I think I see a lot of great ideas in the program of the administration. It's just that implementation has been, I mean, horrendous so far. I think that's the correct word, which is a pity. If the ideas get killed by poor implementation, it would be tragic.
And obviously you have the low, you have the, the IR, the Inflation Reduction Act, you have the CHIPS Act, you have these other things, I guess, are which probably should be beneficial medium long term for growth, but in the short term, yeah, it's kind of like.
And I'm not a big fan of doling out subsidies to industry. I mean, is this really a good use of your and my taxpayers' money? So I there is plenty of good reasons to do what the Trump administration wants to do, but could they get at it in a more systematic and less provocative manner?
That's what I think we all want. And then for the upcoming week, who knows? But what do you think people should be looking out for?
So it's going to be CPI and PPI week, and again, here we get a sense of stasis. The Cleveland Fed has an inflation forecast, and they see 26 basis points for core CPI and 22 basis points for core PC month on month. So not much of a change. So again, it doesn't look like the administration has changed fundamentally the inflation dynamic there. And that data is going to add to the Fed, wait and see, to the reason for their wait and see attitude. So I'm not expecting a big surprise, big market surprise, moving surprise from the CPI next week.
Anything else? Do you anticipate anything from the government, from tariffs, anything?
So the big news would be if there were fewer news. If we saw the administration getting more disciplined, and it's not impossible because you've had some changes over the past week pointing out in that direction. For instance, there was a cabinet meeting yesterday where Elon Musk was there, and in front of Elon Musk, President Trump told his cabinet that they were in charge of deciding on employment levels, not Elon Musk. So I think that's again more process, which is what we need. So
Good
that's
start.
positive. Yeah, I mean, the thing with President Trump, he's been running so fast, he's been in power for what, 6 weeks? So, and his cabinet is still in the process, I think, of getting confirmed. So Commerce Secretary Lutnick, for instance, who is in charge of a tariff policy, got confirmed a few weeks ago. So the big news for me would be if we got more of a sense of a strategy and process on the part of the administration.
Cool. Awesome. Something we all want.
Indeed.
So, just to highlight a few pieces as we like to do. Henry has a piece, update on his views on the ECB, and he's been pretty clear for a while on believing that the too many cuts were priced in for ECB, and that this is obviously coming to fruition. He actually adds to a short on the front end in Europe. Buresh just, I think, along with Bilal, just released a kind of a deep dive, at least our kind of views on around what's happening in AI, and also how it pertains to business. Certainly an interesting thing. Leanne gives an update on China Watch. You know, everything's around the US these days, but still, you know, certainly kind of mixed, you know, that China, the government's trying to get more aggressive around stimulus and maybe also more aggressive around military as well. Certainly maybe against some of the comments from the Trump administration. You know, we added a bunch, the new Trump trades, Dominique, from yours, which are interesting stuff. You know, Antonio has been highlighting the potential upcoming, I think it's still a view maybe one more month away, but kind of a slowdown that would be happening anyway, I think. But obviously, a lot of this uncertainty is not helping. A lot of stuff around our model stuff, around positioning, certainly interesting. Neil's put out a bunch of stuff on new stuff around derivatives, definitely worth checking out. Yeah, that's kind of it. Caroline had some stuff in emerging markets, kind of saying if we are truly moving into a kind of a weaker dollar environment, and certainly all the stimulus coming out of Europe, this should be quite beneficial for different areas of different areas of emerging markets, for example, South Africa. We didn't even talk about oil coming down quite a bit, and that should be, I agree, or we all agree that that would be quite beneficial for bringing inflation down. By the way, there's a lot of the US economies that is benefits from a higher oil price, which that may also show up in kind of slowing.
Sure, but on balance, it's good for what the administration wants to do. I mean,
Yeah,
what I think they
exactly.
want to do is to raise income, the real income of low-income Americans, and by giving them more labor market power. And the risk with that is higher wages triggering a wage price feedback loop. So if you bring in lower energy prices, it's almost like a circuit breaker. So it would be very beneficial.
Yeah.
Help lower inflation while rising real incomes. So one of my strong belief is that the administration diplomacy is really centered around getting extra supply because
Right.
domestic policy in the end is what will get the Republican Party re-elected in the midterm and in the
Yeah.
next presidential
Yeah, I
elections.
remember, you know, we talked about, you know, is Trump looking for some grand bargain along with Saudis and Russia, basically some kind of concessions in order for them to pump a lot more oil, and also I guess trying to make a deal with Iran, maybe they even try to make a deal with Venezuela, but this goal of maybe getting oil down to $50. So,
Yeah.
okay, cool, super interesting stuff. Thank you everyone for who ends up listening. If you guys have any questions, please hit us up. Bloomberg or email. And yeah, for people
Yeah.
watching today, have a nice weekend. And for
Yeah,
not, good
good
luck
luck,
next week.
everybody. Hopefully next week it's going to be news free or almost news free.
Okay, cool.